everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program together. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, the 24th of January, 2022. We're now in our 12th year here on the radio this month, and the 34th year on television and radio in the Tucson market. The Buckmaster Show broadcasts from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The call letters KVOI, The Voice. You can hear all of our programs and live stream the program as well at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's, a family-owned and run operation since 1985. Check out their revamped and updated website at moesgallery.com. And of course, we urge you to stop in and check out the store and right next to Copenhagen. There's a lot of beautiful art. They've got a full gallery there. And of course, they have... they are ready for your custom-framed mirrors, and their specialty is, of course, framing. They do a beautiful job on all the framing items. Every Monday on our Buckmaster Show, we kick off the week with the Monday Political Face-Off. Our team of commentators, Dr. Don Jorgensen is here, the former chair of the Democratic Party of Pima County. Hey, Don.
Good morning, or good afternoon now, Bill. How are you?
And Nolan Reedhead is with us. Nolan, former congressional candidate and first vice chairman of the Pima County Republican Party. Hey, Nolan, how are you?
Doing well, Bill. Good to be with you. And Don, good to be with you for the first time.
Well, welcome. I am glad both of you showed up 10 minutes early so we could spend 10 minutes talking about what I think is probably... certainly in the top five best football games I have ever seen, with that that game with the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. Just amazing. I was pulling for the Bills. I was hoping that when 13 seconds were left, Don and Nolan, that the Bills would have decided just kick the ball and use up half of the 13 seconds, because I knew 13 seconds would be enough for the Kansas City quarterback to get within field goal range, and it was. So.
Bad to see any team like that lose. Boy, what a phenomenal game. It was just a pleasure to watch.
Yeah, as we were saying, can we please get rid of the most idiotic rule in pro sports, and that's the NFL overtime rule.
Oh.
You can't watch Josh Allen sit on the bench,
yeah,
doing nothing after an incredible performance like that.
Yeah, he never got a chance to go in and see if he could tie the game. All right, Nolan, I hear a lot of Republicans. In fact, Shelley, one of our regulars here on the Face-Off, put out, Shelley Keis put out in the... your E-Tracks, that's your weekly e-newsletter, was talking about what I wanted to bring up today, actually, Nolan, and that is that the Pima County Republicans stand, as Shelley points out in the newsletter, for Americans and putting America first. Being a student of history, Nolan, I like that period of World War II, reading about it. In fact, I'm reading a book called In the Garden of Beasts by Eric Larson, a best-selling author about that period in Germany before Pearl Harbor for the Americans. And there was this very strong America First movement that Charles Lindbergh actually headed up in this country. How is this kind of America First that you're talking about in a contemporary fashion maybe different from back then?
Well, I think it's not necessarily an isolationist position, because we definitely, I think America has been, for its history, such a benevolent and giving and serviceable country, helping out countries in need and disasters and what have you. But it's basically not being taken advantage of, using the resources that we have. I think an example is, you know, last year and years before, we've seen gas prices down. We've seen these things happening. But now... President Biden came in and shut down some of the Keystone pipelines, some of these things, and went overseas to purchase oil from foreign countries. And you have Americans with jobs, you have Americans with the opportunity to have low gas prices. Now we're seeing with inflation, putting Americans first and having using our resources that we have. And that's one example. We're seeing also situations where we have here the border, the crisis with human trafficking. We have drug trafficking, the cartels taking advantage of an open border. Such a huge percent, I think 278% increase in apprehensions. But yet we're so concerned, and rightfully so, I think, with the border between Ukraine and Russia. So I think, you know, put Americans, America first, secure our borders, not be isolationist, but help out Americans first, and then obviously reach out and help other countries. So I think that's the point of looking at Americans' needs, and that's with any house, protect our own, protect our needs and our comforts, and then we reach out to other and help others.
Don? Well, I think Nolan would like to have that be the case, but that's not what we're seeing in the news. When you look at what Republicans are proposing at the national level, it is isolationist. You have many that think we should have no business doing or saying anything about Ukraine. And fortunately, we have a strong leader in Joe Biden who's willing to stand up to Putin, unlike Trump, who tend to believe Putin over our own intelligence analysts for those 4 years. But now we have someone who has strengthened NATO, who has gotten the U.S. back in a position of leadership on a global level, which we had lost the past few years. At the same time, you have these Republicans in Congress like Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene, who proposed this whole America First approach back in the spring, and it's just been snowballing. So when you look at the level of or the type of people who are proposing on the Republican side, like those congressmen, like Tucker Carlson on the news, are talking exactly about isolationism, about not standing up to Russia. And I think that's very divisive. That's not American leadership. And so I think it is a problem that the Republicans have to face. I think you're seeing a split in the Republican Party, and consequently, you have a very strong administration right now who is willing to stand up, not just for America, but for the democracies around the world that we pledge to support and work with.
Nolan, about that split that Don perceives, and it might be happening. He brought up Tucker Carlson on Fox, who says we should not have anything to do with Ukraine and the NATO. And then you have others like Dennis Prager, whose program airs here in the afternoons on KVOI, saying we need to really have a strong response to Russia and the Ukraine. Do you see this split being quite divisive?
Well, you'll always see a split between the more conservative part of the party and a more moderate part of the party. But to say that Joe Biden is a strong administration, even the president of Ukraine called out President Biden because of his remarks regarding Ukraine, saying that, well, if it's a minor infraction, then we're not sure, that's not strong leadership. And under President Trump, you had the strong leadership. And even what's going on with China, China is doing all these flyovers. Joe Biden does not want to interfere with its relationship with China, so it's not saying anything there. And not a whole lot's going on. Even Chuck Todd of NBC came out and, with all these polls, basically they're on a left-wing side, they're claiming that Joe Biden is incompetent, is not showing strong leadership, and especially from a commander-in-chief. And we're seeing that with not only Ukraine, but we're also seeing it with lack of leadership with Mexico, or lack of leadership with Kamala Harris and the border czar. There's not a lot of leadership with the Democratic administration. You're just not seeing it. And so we are for protecting the interests of Ukraine against Russia. You've seen that with President Trump being strong against Russia, being strong against China. And so our party is strong in the sense that we want to protect our American interests, but yet not get our troops in a way where we're leading another Afghanistan or Iraq. We don't want to get into one of those long, drawn-out wars.
Don, Nolan brings up the polling, and the polling has really been terrible for Joe Biden after the first year. Is it time to kind of maybe do a reset, have Democrats take a look at where we are right now?
Well, Democrats are taking a look at where we are right now, and I think Joe Biden did a great job in his press conference last week of talking about that and talking about it honestly. But I also think folks, particularly even Democrats, need to step back and take a breath, because when you look at what was accomplished in the first year, Joe Biden had a historically successful first year as a president, more than most presidents. The challenge was the timing. And in fact, he was successful in the first half of his term this past year. If you flip that, then I think the polls would also be flipped, because look at what was accomplished. Over 200 million Americans have been vaccinated now. So he's working towards, again, moving us back to normalcy with regard to COVID, despite the opposition from anti-vaxxers, and many of whom are supported by the Republican Party. He has also taken unemployment from 6.2% down to 3.9%, the biggest drop in history, created over 6 million jobs, strengthened the economy as a result of the American Rescue Plan, which was passed against Republican opposition, that helped rescue families from economic ruin during that first part when they were not able to work, help families that had child care needs as well. He passed a bipartisan infrastructure bill that his previous two predecessors couldn't pass. If you remember back during the Trump years, every week seemed to be infrastructure week, but they never got it done. Biden got it done. As a result of that, we're now seeing incredible investments around the states, investments that Doug Ducey, even though he opposed it, is trying to take credit for, as are some of the Republicans in this state as well. All those things happen in the first year, as well as a record number of federal judges being approved through the Senate, and over 5 million more Americans receiving health care. We're now at the highest level ever. If all those accomplishments had occurred in the second half of the year, I think you've seen the reverse. There have been challenges. The Build Back Better plan wasn't passed. He made the mistake of believing Joe Manchin's promises, which didn't happen. A lot of focus was put on the voting rights bill. We knew what happened there. He thought he had 50 senators and a majority. He didn't. He had 50 senators against it, only 48 in favor, and what's called two peacocks in there, and that's been the challenge. So okay. There does need to be a reset now. He needs to split Build Back Better apart and push the pieces that Americans support, like lowering prescription drug costs. And I think you'll see more targeted efforts on the part of Biden and the Democrats, while the Republicans still say they're just going to sit back and do nothing.
All right, Nolan, you will have the response after we take our break right here. You'll be responding to Don Jorgensen, Nolan Reedhead, and Don Jorgensen today on our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Right now, I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. I could go with a little bit of a pastry right now. I think everybody could on a little comfort food today, Nolan. I mean, we got the market going way south. We've got war clouds looming in the Ukraine. Omicron still rearing its ugly head. I don't know about you, Nolan, but I could go for comfort food.
A little comfort food during this time would be good, especially those Bills fans that, had to sit through such a horrible ordeal.
So what would you go for, Don? I know you have particular favorites.
The brownies are great. The muffins are great.
You're thinking about a brownie, huh?
And, of course, the breakfast Kringle is unmatched.
Brownies are always a good choice.
Always
the brownies.
A good choice. Today, I would go with a Danish with apricot filling. And Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle, but believe me, they do a really great Danish as well, as you might expect. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are closed Monday. That gives Steve and the team a little bit of a rest. They're open Tuesday through Sunday, 6:30 for breakfast. And check it out. Their website looks really good with all the pictures that were taken of every one of the menu items. Going to make your mouth water. And people actually are in line, believe it or not. They're at the front door at 6:30 in the morning, and they will be tomorrow as well at Mona's Danish Bakery, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We'll pause right now with the Monday Political Face-Off. Nolan and Don will be back. Nolan will have the response to Don Jorgensen saying that Joe Biden actually accomplished a lot in his first year. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with The Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Hope everybody had a great weekend as we plunge in to the last full week of January. We have Nolan Reedhead seated to my right. Nolan, former congressional candidate and the first vice chair of the Pima County Republican Party. And seated to my left, Dr. Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party of Pima County. This is our Monday political face-off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Okay, Nolan, you sat by and listened to Don list off the accomplishments of the Biden administration. Don feels that that President Biden's done pretty well in the first year. I would assume that you have pretty much strongly disagree.
I would strongly disagree.
Yes.
yeah, the Biden's Build Back Better has more been Biden's biggest blunders. We're looking at the economy in many ways, the economy, foreign policy. You just look at inflation, 40-year high. People go to the grocery store if they can find things on their shelves due to the, I think, a lack of leadership with the supply chains. Gas is through the roof, supplies, food, meat, chicken, you name it, building supplies, vehicles. You're looking at just the cost. It's really a tax on the American people, this inflation, and they're upset about it. They're seeing it. You're seeing the border. It's just an open border. There's chaos and crisis. Vice President Kamala Harris was kind of designated to do that. Boy, has really done nothing there. Nothing's changed. You're seeing Afghanistan. We had Americans killed. And as a father of a child in the Navy, you know, we had Americans killed. We had Americans that were abandoned. You're even seeing the State Department tell the individuals in Ukraine, hey, we're telling you to get out, but we're not going to be able to help you. So Americans are abandoned. They were left. Even our allies, the Afghan allies and with Iraq, they were abandoned as well. And so you're seeing so much chaos, so much negativity. You're seeing crime throughout the various Democrat-led states. You're seeing the crime murder increases. You're seeing DAs in the various places let people out. They're prosecuted, they're arrested, they're put in jail, and then they're let out without bail. You're seeing chaos, you're seeing problems, and they're the result of Democrat positions, Democrat beliefs, and we didn't see it under President Trump. You didn't see the inflation. You've seen prosperity. You've seen a level of economic success that hasn't been rivaled, really.
Boy, what a different picture you're painting than what Don is saying. It's mm-hmm. like two different universes here, but you're saying things are really bad.
Well, they really are, and you're seeing it even with the poll numbers. You're seeing it with even the media, which leans hard left. They're even bringing up with focus groups. I think it was 28% of the total population and less than half of Democrats are telling Joe Biden, don't run again.
So, Nolan really painting a very bleak picture. Is it time to hit the panic button?
Well, Republicans have hit the panic button because they have nothing to offer. What you heard there was a lot of bullet points without facts behind them. Let's kind of comment on ending the war in Afghanistan, because Republicans have hit that again and again. Any loss of life is a tragedy. I had a son in the military as well, and we all hate that. There was a war, an ongoing war, and what no one pointed out is that this year the American president did not have to go to Afghanistan to visit the troops because he brought the troops home. Joe Biden did that, and he had to do it quickly because of the so-called Trump surrender agreement that he made with the Taliban the previous year. So they had no choice but to bring them home. And losing 13 soldiers was a tragedy. You wonder how many more have been lost had he not brought the rest of them home. But look at what did happen. Biden got Americans out of Afghanistan. Over 200,000 were brought home, both soldiers and civilians working for him. For the U.S., including Iraqis who helped us. And that continued after the major pullout. But you don't hear about the success. You only hear the complaint. So I want to get all the facts out about that. Moving forward, yes, Democrats have to continue to do the job of dealing with the issues that Americans care about. Americans do care about inflation right now. And it doesn't matter what the real causes were. It doesn't really matter that the White House often doesn't have a lot of control over those things like gas prices. But the person at the top takes the blame for it. That's understandable. So they have to get back and work to focus on the things that Americans do care about. It's always medical care, lowering prescription drug costs. It's helping working families by extending or passing again the child care tax credit. It's doing those things that matter to Americans. You're going to start to see the effects on workers because of the investments. You're going to see, and we've already seen, improvements in the supply chain issues. Again, there was all these screaming from the Republicans that Christmas was going to be ruined because people wouldn't get their gifts. Well, guess what? People get the gifts. So you didn't hear about those successes. Democrats have to do a better job of communicating those successes. They also have to do a better job of getting behind what the Biden administration is working to do to promote those issues like lowering prescription drug costs that the majority of Americans favor.
All right. Nolan, final word from you.
Yeah, I would strongly disagree in a sense that government can do things. The Biden administration can do things. It's just like Obama when he said, well, those manufacturing jobs are gone. No, President Trump brought them back. There's a way for government. Government essentially get out of the way, loosen the restrictions, and the Biden administration could loosen up the Alaskan, the pipeline, free up more oil. That's going to lower gas prices. That's just economics. So there are economic policies that are that are pushed forward and sponsored by the Republican Party that are not sponsored by the Democrat Party. And you're seeing the detriments of that. You're seeing now that the Biden administration going back to the stay-at-home policy for the agreement with Mexico to have individuals stay there so there's not such a crisis in the Mexican border. So there are policies that the government can put in place, but essentially government needs to get out. So I would just tell the American people, are you better off now than you were under President Trump? And astoundingly, the numbers are going to say, no, we're not better off. We're actually worse off than we were under the Trump administration.
Don, quick word. We're real quick.
Okay. Teddy Roosevelt once pointed out that, yeah, the groups in charge often bear the brunt of popular discontent. Right now, the people in the arena, Democrats are the only one in the arena. Nolan talks about the government can do this and that. Well, Republicans are part of the government, and all they've said is they have no agenda for 2022. They propose no legislation, and they just want to stop Biden. How about they show some patriotism and do the job they were elected to do and work with Biden and the administration to get these things done? Because Democrats are ready to work and trying to do these things to improve the lives of the American people.
Nolan. I was going to say the Democrats control all three houses, essentially. So we can't enact legislation without the help of the Democrats, which they will not do.
Gentlemen, have to leave. Don, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Nolan, great to see you.
Thank you, Bill. Good to see you,
Don.
Good to see you.
All right.
The
Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, right next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell, and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zilkalo Village Studios. Green Things, 51st year of business. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. They are open daily. They are just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. If you have not been over there and you need anything for your garden, I strongly suggest a visit on the 13-acre site. You will find what you are looking for when it comes to green things. Zocalo Village is also part of the property. Zocalo Village has some beautiful merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. It's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. The Pima County Supervisor Democrat representing Supervisorial District Number 2, Dr. Matt Hines. Dr. Hines, how are you, sir?
Doing well, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. I'm a little concerned, and I know you're probably more than a little concerned, that we had Dr. Cullen, Pima County Health Director, on our Friday Focus interview, and she said it's great. Astounding. One in three tests in Pima County, Dr. Hines, are coming back positive.
Positive, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's we haven't seen numbers like this ever, not so far. This is the highest amount of spread. And I think it's not surprising. Omicron, we've seen from the experience out to the east and northeast and other parts of the country and world, this thing spreads really, really fast and really, really well, almost as well as measles, which has an R-naught of 12 to 16, basically. We're looking at Omicron around 10-ish. Meaning the number of people that get infected from one person who has the virus. So,
well, we've had over the weekend 3,000 plus. I think one day it was up 3,600 cases in Pima County. Of course, that would be a record. I don't know if today's under 2,000 is just an anomaly. Perhaps catching up on a Monday from the
could
weekend.
Be, sure.
I don't know how much we can read into it, but what I'm looking for, and I know you're looking for as well, is some kind of a peak. What's your gut on that, Dr. Hines?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of based on what's happening in the rest of the country, we are seeing, say, like in New York, Florida, some of the other like places are seeing that they seem to have hit a peak, and cases are now on the falling, falling again pretty rapidly, which we're not in that spot yet in southern Arizona. We're hoping that we will be, maybe in two or three more weeks or so.
What do you know about the testing site? I understand the FEMA testing site opened today at Pima Community College's West Campus. That's at 2202 West Anklin Road. They're there from, they open at 8 and they're closed at 6. Is that going to help get some more testing into our community?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been hearing for weeks about the number of lines and people not being able to find a place to get tested, even, which because things are so congested and backed up. Unfortunately, I'm still hearing from a lot of my colleagues in emergency departments that people are coming in, checking into the ERs and the urgent cares, and that they're checking in for COVID check. Yeah. COVID test. And that is just to reiterate, that is not the place to go just to be checked for COVID. Of course, the hospitals and the urgent cares can do that, but we really need people that are having symptoms, difficulty breathing, whatever, fevers. Those are the folks that if they need additional care, those folks go to the urgent cares and the ERs. But just for COVID testing, figure out on pima.gov where the closest place for you to do that is, and try to go there, sign up for that site, because our ERs really need to focus on people that are truly in need of that emergency care and quite ill.
What is your situation over at Tucson Medical Center?
Like all the other hospitals in the county, seeing a significant uptick in admitted patients with COVID. We hear a lot about how Omicron isn't as severe as maybe some of the other variants, but it spreads so much better, as I've been saying kind of all along, we're going to more than make up for the for the relatively lower amount of severity per capita in terms of folks infected with Omicron. We're going to more than make up with it and fill up our hospitals because of the sheer volume, the numbers of people that are getting it, because it's so easy, so readily transmissible. So, and that we've seen that. So, you know, a third of our, this is countywide, it applies in my facility, so approximately one third of our ventilators in our ICUs are being used by COVID patients. And that's unfortunately a situation where when we're basically maxed out countywide on ICU beds. At any given moment, there might be one or two or three available, but basically we're all maxed out on ICU beds. And you can't get your heart bypass done if there's no ICU bed following that elective surgical procedure. And therefore, we're seeing we see this in the really just heartbreaking and awful report from the Arizona, Public Health Association, Will Humble, and I was speaking about this just recently, 36,000 more Arizonans died in 2021 than we were expecting. And that, a lot of that has to do with COVID, 24,000, I believe, COVID-related, but that other 12,000, disproportionately cardiac-related. Well, why do you think that is? I can tell you, it's hard to quantify, but I absolutely know that a substantial number of those folks died while waiting for their bypass. They kept getting canceled or pushed back because of the people that are, you know, needing help in the hospital with COVID. And it's really tragic to see that just so starkly in that kind of number.
It's just, we have these parallel universes. We have the one group that you're in and I'm in that believe that mitigation works and that we should be doing everything we can with vaccines. And we have another group. Look at the Pima, the Cochise County supervisors, and up in Pinal County, turning down, Dr. Hines, any federal money to go for COVID mitigation. How in the world can you justify something like that? You know something? These two parallel universes, guess where they meet if somebody gets really sick? They meet in front of you and your colleagues at the hospital.
Yeah, that's right. We're we're crusaders against COVID, and in the vast majority of folks coming in with serious enough COVID infections to be hospitalized or ventilated or require oxygen, they are between two-thirds and three-quarters, if not more, of those folks are unvaccinated. The ones who get really sick like that happen to be vaccinated or at least partially vaccinated, they have usually a tremendous number of complicating factors. They're immune compromised. They have been on chemotherapy for cancer. Maybe they have serious underlying lung disease. So, you know, even the vaccine can't always completely protect those folks from an infection. But unvaccinated folks, this virus, it just shreds people. It just tears through them. And in some cases, you know, we can't help them survive. But we're all crusaders, all the healthcare workers. We're working to the best of our ability to save unvaccinated COVID sufferers. That's the biggest population in our hospitals right now.
What do you think the shakeout will be in the healthcare profession after this is all behind us? Hopefully, we hope not too far in the distant future. I wonder if this will discourage some nurses and doctors from continuing with their careers in medicine.
I guarantee, and this is just hearing, there's not really a water cooler to speak of, but, you know, just listening to the conversation in the hallways in the hospital, I guarantee there are dozens, probably hundreds of nurses statewide and nationwide, thousands, who will never come back to this profession. And I cannot blame them. You know, like, think of all of the nurses and respiratory therapists and doctors in the ER and the ICU who showed up to work when we knew we could die from this virus or infect one of our family. We still came into the hospitals and we still did what we could because there was no vaccine, and that's what we're there for, right? It's what we know how to do. We're happy to do our jobs. And some of us died. Thousands of doctors and nurses, right? For sure, hundreds, I know, have died from COVID. And here we are. There finally is a vaccine. They died so we could get the vaccine, you and me and everyone else who's still alive. They died. They gave their lives fighting COVID so that we could make it to the time when there was a vaccine or a better treatment. And none of the so-called arguments that unvaccinated populations put forward ring true for me, because it just feels like, you know, we're spitting on the graves of the dead, who gave their lives so that we could get a vaccine. And to listen to the audacity of some folks in downplaying it, or for our public officials who are pretending like you shouldn't have to get it. My God, like, I can't believe, I mean, this is no different than, you know, disrespecting veterans in Arlington, you know, like spitting on a grave. Like, it's a different kind of war, but like, it's just unconscionable to me. And what this says. So seeing that as a healthcare worker, like, thanks, you were banging pots for us at one point, and now you're like spitting in our faces by not getting a vaccine. Mm-hmm. Good job, you know.
Yeah, and I'm sure, I don't know, but this is probably the conversation you're hearing from some doctors and nurses that's saying, you know, in all consciousness, I can't walk away from the job right now because it's all hands on deck, and it would be unconscionable to walk away at this particular time. But there will come a time when things settle down and people start thinking and reevaluating their lives and whether they ever want to go through this again. Isn't that when we're going to have that day of reckoning?
Yeah, that's when a lot of folks are going to be like, you know, I'm not going to be coming in tomorrow or ever. Right? And that's going to be some very distressed nurse managers and hospital leadership going forward. It's already very difficult to convince nurses to ensure they're insured enough of supply as it is, to convince them to take extra shifts or to come here as travelers. The amount of dollars the hospitals are having to shell out to get that to happen is actually, well, Banner, in fact, has just said they're going to stop doing it because they're paying $300 million a week or a month, a lot of money to get the traveling nurses to come into their hospitals. They have obviously a couple dozen in Arizona. So
that's got to be very costly.
Yes, it is for sure.
All right, Dr. Hines, stick around. Want to talk about the Regional Transportation Authority when we come back. It's Buckmaster on a Monday. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on a Monday afternoon. This portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over to that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. It's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Once there, lots of outdoor activities, which are always very appropriate with what's going on in the world, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Find out about where to stay and what to do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go back on our live line for our conversation with Pima County Supervisor, Democrat representing the 2nd Supervisorial District. And Dr. Hines, a very important meeting coming up on Thursday. Okay. There have been threats that the city will actually decide they do not want to be a part of the RTA, what is being called the RTA Next Plan. Of course, the RTA 20-year program will sunset in 2026. Where are we on all of this, Dr. Hines? Is there room for compromise?
I really think there is. I'm pleased that one of my colleagues on the board, Supervisor Rex Scott, who represents the interests of Pima County as part of the RTA board and PAG Regional Council, all that, that he had put forward a kind of a hybrid plan in response to some of the concerns shared by Mayor Romero on behalf of the city of Tucson, their concerns with the process and their amount of voice in that process. They wanted a little bit more proportionality there, and I thought that was very reasonable. And I appreciated that Rex Scott brought forward a kind of a hybrid that recognizes that, and I do think it's a good idea for the rest of the regional council and RTA board to listen to Tucson's concerns, because Tucson is truly the way that the next RTA will pass or fail. Politically speaking, I mean, at the ballot box, it's not going to pass with just the voters in the unincorporated county, Saudita, or Valley Marana. It's going to require the votes from the city of Tucson within Pima County to make it pass. And so I think that we need to find that compromise and all just work more closely together to really do this. Otherwise, we're not going to get anything.
Yeah, one of your colleagues on the board, Supervisor Steve Christie, said, let the city walk. Let's have a Tucson-free RTA. But just by what you're saying, that would be folly. You're not going to get it passed without the city. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, everybody knows this. And, like, the city of Tucson, you know, the council voted to step away from this if there's not some kind of at least partial compromise on some of their concerns, which I think are very reasonable. That effectively, they can go through the motions, but an RTA without the city of Tucson is not going to, it's going to fail only from a political standpoint. I don't think it would be a great way to go regardless, but, And I it doesn't sound like some of the representatives on these boards, these councils understand that. But the political reality is there is no pathway to pass any kind of comprehensive transportation program and authority for another decade or two, without the city of Tucson providing, frankly, a voter base willing to adopt this.
Other issues facing Pima County, this water suit, Pima County suing Tucson over the differential water rates. Would you have liked to not see that happen?
Oh, yeah, Bill. Over my objection, Supervisor Grijalva and I voted in opposition to authorizing the lawsuit. Huge, and even Chuck Huckleberry had said this to me privately and also in meetings before publicly. Tremendous, tremendous waste of resources and time for both the taxpayers of the city of Tucson and the taxpayers of the county. One jurisdiction suing another is kind of ridiculous in general, unless people's lives are at stake, which is why I was willing to step up and sue the state, but that was separate issues. I'm not really quite sure why they think is going how this is going to go. But
were you happy about the fully paid parental leave for county employees?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I was happy to support that.
How about the circling back to COVID? Most now of the vast majority of workers at Pima County have had at least two shots.
Yes. Yep, that's right.
Okay. So what are the big issues going to be here in 2022 for Pima County?
Well, I mean, we've talked about it so much, but I do think that, our continuing response to COVID, it remains an impediment to full economic recovery while we have the pandemic before us. So I'm doing what we can, to support people that are suffering, to address homelessness, I think is huge. We can really make a big dent in that if we work together across jurisdictions, especially with the city of Tucson. I think we have some opportunity there and on economic development for the region as well.
So at this point, any kind of mitigation at COVID, I know you've tried before, but are you going to give up on that?
Well, we have a little bit more leeway, I think, based on some court ruling. So I do think that, depending on the conditions, I will propose that we extend the mask mandate that's enforced to the end of February, depending on how things look at that time. But you're right, in terms of like checking your vaccine card before going into a public enclosed space, I think that makes a lot of sense. I don't know that the votes on the board are present to do that kind of level of mitigation.
All right, Dr. Hines, it's always a pleasure talking with you. And I just wonder, I mean, how is this, is it taking a toll on you emotionally? This constant stress of working in this COVID environment.
Oh yeah, I can speak. I hope, I'm pretty sure for most healthcare workers, this is ongoing stress that, frankly, we could have been rid of 5 or 6 months ago if we were all on board with the social contract and vaccination. So, but constant stress that we're going to potentially adversely affect one of our family members or loved ones with this, and just. It takes longer to do our jobs just to put on the 6, 7, 8 pieces of protective equipment, 2 masks, caps, all that, all to get in and out of a COVID patient's room just once. So having hundreds and hundreds, I think we're over 400 and something COVID patients admitted to the hospitals right now. It just slows everything down so that we can protect ourselves and the other patients from the virus. So it's frustrating in so many ways, but emotionally draining, especially with 35% of the county not willing to get vaccinated.
Yeah, I never even thought about all that, the gear that you had to suit up for every time you interface with a COVID patient. Okay, Dr. Hines, we'll let you go. Thank you very much.
Sure thing. Bye, Bill.
All right, that's going to wrap up the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Dr. Hines and John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing, my name is Bill Buckmaster. Thank you for being aboard today. We'll be back with you in about 23 hours. But coming up next, we've got Dave Ramsey, his very popular show, where Dave really tells it like it is about your money. Have a great afternoon, everybody.